Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you each week over the station at this time. We're in a study of the Gospel of John, and today we shall turn to a very, very serious message that comes to us from John 12, verse 27 and 28. Jesus speaking, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Let us pray. Father, we pray now for thy divine anointing on this declaration of thy sacred word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, today I want to speak to you about the struggle or the struggles of Jesus. He had a struggle here, didn't he? Just a few days before the crucifixion. Observe that Jesus said, "My soul is troubled." The word troubled here comes from the Greek word tarasso. It means stirred, agitated, troubled. Aren't you glad that the gospel is straightforward? It does not hide anything. It does not tell half the truth. It does not hide any reality, but it is telling us like it is. So it tells us here that Jesus was troubled. And what makes it even more powerful is that Jesus publicly confessed to the Greeks around him, to his disciples, to others who were with him, to the innermost circle, that he was troubled. He says, "My soul is troubled." Beware of television evangelists, beware of pastors and preachers and radio ministers who tell you that when you receive Jesus and when you receive the Holy Spirit, it will be the end of their troubles, of your troubles. It will be the end of your feeling troubled. And I said feeling here, didn't I? That it will be the end of you feeling low sometimes, or burdened, or discouraged, or sad, or overwhelmed once in a while. Jesus, the perfect one, the only perfect man who ever lived on the face of the earth, said, "My soul is troubled." He confesses it publicly to his little congregation gathered around him. And so does the Apostle Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians, where he says in chapter 4, "We are troubled on every side." So don't let anyone tell you that the Christian life is without trouble. And don't let anyone tell you that you have lost the victory when you are troubled. Jesus never lost the victory, yet he was troubled. So the question, my friend, is not whether we get troubled or not troubled, but the question is, what are we getting troubled about? And that separates the men from the boys. Jesus tells us, don't worry about or don't be troubled about what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or what you shall put on, or about your shelter. Don't be troubled about those things. He taught these things in a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus also taught his people not to be troubled about the last days. This is found in Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." What we should be troubled about is not what unbelievers are troubled about. We should not worry about food and clothing and mortgage payments and job security or the future. We should be troubled about other things, the things that troubled Jesus, the things that troubled him. And you can easily tell what a Christian is all about by looking at what he is troubled about. If he's troubled about the things of the world, the earthly things, he certainly is a backslider. If he's troubled about what troubles Jesus, then we have a saint at our side. So, what was Jesus troubled about? The thing that Jesus was troubled about the most is that he knew that before the week, this week would be over, he would lose his holiness. Let me say it again. The thing that Jesus was troubled about is that he knew that before the week would be over, that he would lose his holiness. That he who knew no sin, that he who was the only, absolutely perfect, holy man on the face of the earth, would become the most sinful man in all the world. By taking all the sin of the world, the sin of all men who lived in the past, who lived in his day, and those who would live in the future, upon himself. That was the source of his greatest trouble. Now let me ask you, what is your greatest trouble? Is it that you lost your wedding ring, or is it that you lost your dog, or is it your son is on drugs, or that your marriage is on the rocks, or is it that you may not have a job next week, or is it that you lost $10,000 in the stock market, or is it that you lost a loved one? Or is it that perhaps, my friend, before the day is over, you might find some stain of sin upon your blood-washed, holy soul? Is it perhaps that before the day is over that you found out you criticized somebody? Or is it perhaps that before the sun sets today, you will find yourself having said a foolish word or having given an ungodly reaction to something? My friend, is it perhaps that by the end of this day you have turned on the television set and picked up some unholy thing that has lodged itself in your mind, and that's going round and round and round, and you don't know how to get it out of there? Oh, my friend, nothing could possibly trouble a true servant of God more than the thought of sin in their lives that would break their relationship with Jesus. That sin that would break their relationship with Jesus, that would cause the light of the Holy Spirit to go out of their lives and make them backsliders or lukewarm people. Listen to verse 27 of this passage. Now, Jesus says, is my soul troubled? That is what our soul should be troubled about also, more than anything else in the world, that we might lose our holiness. Now, going on here, what do we do when we get into this kind of troubled feeling, or we get into any lesser trouble? And the answer, my friend, is prayer. Jesus said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. He says, Father, save me. I think of the old gospel song, there is a balm in Gilead that makes the wounded whole. My friend, there is help from God to those who come to him by prayer. Now, the unbeliever can solve his troubles for a while by getting more money out of the bank, or by going on a vacation and getting far away from it all, or by seeing a doctor, or by visiting a psychiatrist, or by going on drugs and alcohol, or by going to some gambling place. But the saint has only one place to get away from his troubles, or to get relief from his troubles, and that is for him to come to the feet of Jesus in prayer. We can find no other cure from our troubles as saints of God but by prayer. And that's what Jesus did. Now then, thirdly, observe the conflict that Jesus was in more detail. We as Christians will frequently find ourselves in a warfare, in a conflict, just as Jesus here found himself in a warfare and in a conflict. Let's look at this verse again. Jesus said, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. So on the one hand, Jesus wanted to be saved from the trouble that was ahead of him. On the other hand, he realized that he had to go through this trouble, he had to go through this conflict, that he might save us and make us holy. In other words, he had to become unholy there at Calvary's tree to make us holy. And this gets me to say that, first of all, Jesus was all human. He was all man. Because he said, and the moment of a twinkling of an eye, he said first, Lord, save me from this hour. He brings out his humanity. And man naturally does not look forward to be crucified. Jesus' first greatest trouble, as I said a moment ago, was that he was about to lose his purity, his holiness, that was his soul trouble deep within him. That was his trouble as the Son of God. But then he had this other trouble, and that was the trouble he had as the Son of Man. So he had one set of trouble as the Son of God, and he had another set of trouble as the Son of Man. He was both all Son of God and Son of Man. As a Son of Man, he was troubled at the thought of this unjust trial leading to a painful death by crucifixion. There's something in our humanity that causes us to retract, to avoid pain and suffering. There's something within every single cell of us that wants to run away from torture and abuse. God has put this into all nature, into all living things, a sense of self-preservation, and that's good. It's necessary. But my friend, when we come into the kingdom of God, when we become alive in Christ, there are times, many times, when we have to go against the grain of human nature, and this is the case here. Jesus said, Father, save me from this hour. He prays both out of his soul and out of his body. His soul did not want to be made unholy, and his body naturally did not want to go to the crucifixion. So he prays, Father, save me from this hour. But although he prays to be delivered from this hour, he never intended for man not to be delivered from his sin. Sure, in a moment of weakness, out of the burden of this trouble, my friend, he's trying to inquire of God if there is perhaps another way to save mankind from their sin. And then in a moment of the twinkling of an eye, as soon as he had said that, he says, Father, save me from this hour. As soon as he had said that, he gets refocused and he realizes for this cause he came unto this hour, that there is no other way, as he had shared it so many times with his apostles, that he would have to suffer, he would have to die, and he would be raised again on the third day. But you see, there are times when we lose our focus just a little bit. And I know that of my own life, that unless I'm in prayer all the time, or in a spirit of prayer, I lose my focus. And so Jesus was all human, so he had the same problem you and I have. He had to press to pray. He had to press to stay focused. And so he said, Father, save me from this hour. But then he realized that the answer is no, for this hour did he come. As soon as Jesus said that, my friend, and committed himself to the Lord, as soon as he had said it, I'm willing to go through with this crucifixion, I'm willing to go through being made unholy for the salvation of all mankind, I'm willing to suffer in my body, as soon as he said that, he said, Father, glorify thy name. That was his punctuation after this prayer. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Oh, praise the Lord, my friend. And so as Jesus instantly heard from heaven, once he surrendered all to God, once he was willing to go God's way, so, my friend, you will get instant help from heaven in the moment when your self-interests are crucified and you seek nothing but the glory of God. So Jesus was troubled. And I want to ask you today, are you troubled about the things that trouble Jesus? Are you troubled about things that trouble unbelievers? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. Goodbye now until next week.
In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.